Hello and welcome to Talk Football Podcast with me, your host Hodgie. And once again, I am joined by Derby County fan Adam James. Welcome to the pod.
Hello again, guys. Hello.
He's back. So this episode is going to be based on listeners' questions. And we have a series of questions from one of our regular guests, Paul. He sent us some questions all the way from New Zealand. So we're going to crack into those. And and what a list of questions it is. Right, so we're going to go with the first one. So it's predictions for the prizes. Liverpool for the quadruple or City for the treble. And our top four predictions. So we'll start with that.
Okay.
So I suppose, do you think Liverpool are capable of winning all the four competitions that they're in? I mean, I think you'd probably have to say yes, because of course they'd be
the way capable. They're performing at the moment, yes.
They're on a real charge. You know, yes. They obviously today we're recording this on Saturday evening. And obviously for a short period today, they went top. So obviously, you know, Man City won their game. They beat Burnley quite comfortably. So they went back to the top. But City and Liverpool are right there on each other's heels. And of course, they've got to play each other. So that's going to be massive in terms of in which way the Premier League swings.
I can't wait for that.
It'd be a great game. Yeah, and you know, I think the quadruple is such a hard thing to do. I think when you go back to Man United when they did the treble, that was an incredible feat, really. And for an English club to do a quadruple, I mean, it's so tough. Yeah, it's so tough. I don't think they will, and I think I will probably make Liverpool on form favourites to win the Prem.
Got a better goal difference for a start, so they are scoring more.
Yeah.
But personally, I still think Man City will win it. Man City will win the league, and I think they will do the treble.
Maybe.
Personally.
Maybe. We'll see. So, I don't know. I don't think either
it's
one of them...
hit and miss at the moment, because we can't really...
Yeah, I think it's a big...
doubt either of them.
I think it's a big ask. The Champions League's a big ask. And, you know, we did it, obviously, last year. And we could do it again. But,
well,
you know, I mean, they've got
Chelsea, that is.
Listen, you know, well, let's look at the fixtures. Let's take Champions League. Arguably, you know, it's a toss of a coin, really, to be honest, for the Premier League between the two of them. The big one, which will be whether or not they can win a triple or a quadruple, is going to be the Champions League. That's, you know, it's the most difficult competition to win. So let's look at their fixtures coming up for that. So arguably, you would probably say Liverpool have got, you know, they've got Benfica. So first game away, not that there's no away goal rule anymore anyway. So there's not as much an advantage in terms of like, historically, you would go away and maybe try and nick an away goal and then come back to your stadium. Even if you'd lost the game, you know, even if you'd lost, say, 2-1 on your first leg away, if you'd always got that away goal, you always felt like, you know.
But saying that, they did start off really slow today. That first half was really slow.
Yeah.
And like you say, you got Mane, which has been in and out of his internationals. So he's
Salah. Yeah, obviously both of them actually coming off the back of just playing World Cup qualifiers. Obviously, Egypt missed out on the World Cup. Yeah. Mane with Senegal obviously got through. So obviously they've had the World Cup qualifiers, they've played AFCON. So you wouldn't imagine that, you know, Sane is not there. He's a cause of Bayern Munich. I've only had half a can of beer. Right. So listen, you know, both of them have had a real busy season. So I think it may be a dip in form for them too, not at their complete high usual standards would be.
Oh yeah,
maybe expected. But then having said that, you know, they've still got Liverpool, still got Jota, and they've still got Diaz, and I think Diaz has settled in incredibly well. And
Jota played well. He played well today.
Yeah,
You can tell Mane and Salah were tired because he substituted Salah for Mane.
Yeah.
So he's trying to save them both.
Give him as much rest as he possibly can.
Energy, yeah.
So looking at that, Benfica are not going to be a pushover. You know, they're in a quarterfinal of the Champions League for a reason. So that's going to be a tough one over two legs. That's a real toughie. Now, Man City, they've got a real tough game on. So I really like Atletico, or Atleti, as a lot of people like to call. I really like the way, I like Simeone. I like the way he sets up a team. They're difficult to beat. They've got brilliant players, obviously going in the forward areas.
Can be hit and miss, though.
Griezmann, they can be hit and miss. Suarez, team. João Felix is on fire at the moment. And they're solid. They're solid across the middle of the park as well. They're a real difficult team to play in midfield because they've got really, really good midfielders. And they're just as good at the back. They've got really, like, good players at the back as well. So
overall, the teams look amazing on paper. It's amazing. It's all on performances, isn't it? So they can be hit and miss at times. And
the thing is with City that, you know, obviously they got to the final, which is as close as they've come since the money came into the club, was getting to the final against us last year. And I think there's far more pressure on Manchester City than anyone else left in the tournament. On a realistic level of saying, you know, bearing in mind how much money they've spent, the owners that they've got, the manager that they've got, the players that they've got, really they should be getting closer to winning the Champions League. So I think that puts an enormous amount of pressure on, you know, on Pep to do it. Because Pep, you know, good member of it as well. Go back to when Pep was manager of Bayern Munich. He didn't win it with them either.
No, he didn't, no.
You know, so now it's a long time if you go back to when he won it with Barcelona. It's a real long time.
Yeah, that is a massive.
Okay, so wow. I know Pep's obviously a phenomenal manager, but I think he's also been a controversial statement. Maybe I do think maybe he's been a relatively fortunate manager. He took over a Barcelona team full of maybe at that current time, maybe six or seven of the best players in the world.
Oh, it was a mental team that was. Absolute insane team.
You had Messi that was breaking through. You had Iniesta, Xavi, Busquets. I think even when he was there, I think he even still had Eto as well.
He was at the end, I think.
I think he was coming towards the end of his time at Barcelona. But I mean, incredible players. Incredible players.
And Iniesta's still playing there. It's still crazy that he's still playing.
So I think there's a bit of pressure on Pep, and I think maybe he will. I wouldn't say he'll see his time whenever he does decide to leave City, that he'll see it as a failure if he doesn't win the Champions League. But I think
he's done fantastic there. He's done fantastic, of course,
without question.
You've got to give him that.
Without question.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's the one thing that's missing off of the Manchester City checklist, isn't it? And it's a big glaring thing.
Anyone's going to want that, though, aren't they? As a manager, you're going to want to win.
And they may well end up winning the Premier League. They may well end up winning, you know, the other competitions they're left in. That's to be seen. So that's tough.
Are you going for the treble then? Are you going for the treble?
I don't think either one of them. I don't think either one of them are doing it. No. I think Man City are going to pip Liverpool to the title, in all honesty, thinking about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Liverpool maybe will just have that odd one, very, very odd, strange result against a Southampton or a West Ham where they'll drop points. May not be a defeat. It could well be a draw. You know, the thing is that when that forward line has an off day, the goals don't come from midfield for Liverpool. You know,
you said City for the title, and then you're saying
it's difficult.
Are you saying City. None of them for win the Champions League?
I don't. No. I think Real Madrid are albeit
they're at their prime at the moment. They are. They're doing fantastic in the league.
They haven't got the Galacticos now. You know, they've got some good players, and Benzema's been phenomenal. You know, I think Benzema has had to play. For the fact that, you know, the last 10 years or so, he's had to play second fiddle to Ronaldo you know, while Ronaldo was at, and he played an amazing second fiddle. What a support act. But it's his time now.
The French beast, as I call him.
You know, it's his time now. I've always rated him. He's an amazing player. And, you know, and they, for want of a better word, they're absolutely pissing the Spanish league this year. Which will give them massive confidence going into...
Is it 12 points or something, isn't it? 12 points clear?
Something like that. I think Sevilla got a game in hand, but yeah, I can't see beyond them for that. So I think, but equally, having said that, you know, Real Madrid have got my boys, Chelsea, and albeit all the trouble that we've been through and are currently still going through with the ownership problems and whatnot.
Madrid all the way.
I know, and I'm shocked defeat today rather against Brentford. I don't, Thomas Tuchel come out and said, like, you know, no one saw that coming, and I'd have to agree with him. I didn't think. I think what it was, we went ahead. It was a phenomenal goal by Rudiger. Brentford equalised, and we just fell apart. I'm hoping that's an isolated result. You can't go into the game against Madrid down on confidence.
Can't win them all though.
No,
can you?
And obviously, you know, Madrid. Football. Madrid have got Vinicius Junior flying, Benzema flying, really good young players in the likes of Camavinga, Rodrigo. Yeah. They're a good outfit. They really are. So and Valverde, great midfielder. So
unbelievable.
I think it's Champions League's such a difficult one to call. You know, Chelsea could easily go and win it again. I think for me, Champions League, I think it's difficult to look beyond Bayern Munich. I really do. I just think they've got a bit of everything. They can, you know, albeit actually they've been conceding a fair amount of goals recently. But normally, I think once it comes to the big games, I think they'll tighten up on that. And of course, you know, Lewandowski up front, Serge Gnabry terrorizing people on the midfield, on the flanks and whatnot. And of course, you still got Sané there and that as well. So. And they're pretty solid at the back as well. Obviously, Manny Neuer in goal, Nicolas Sula, solid defender.
He's getting on now, isn't he, Neuer? So what, 35 nearly now?
And Hernandez as well at the back. So
we're safe to saying that none of them are winning either.
I honestly don't.
What about the top four then? What are we doing for the top four?
This is where it really gets interesting.
This is a tough one for me.
Because this is where, when you look at the Premier League table, it's quite tight. Now, obviously, today's
it's
result
tight from fourth to seventh.
Arsenal have got a game in hand on us in third, Chelsea in third, so that gets them to within 2 points of Chelsea. Spurs, I think I think Chelsea are quite comfortably. The gap is quite comfortable. That I think we maybe only need two wins. And that was completely secure us, I think, in the top four. I really do.
So I'm going Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea.
I think United will fall away.
I can see Wolves pushing in there.
I can't look beyond Arsenal. For the fourth position, I know Paul won't like hearing that, but I struggle to see beyond that.
I can see Wolves pushing in there.
I just don't think they score enough goals. So I think they'll maybe have too many draws, and that'll hold them back.
I don't know. Look at United. Only 2 points, two goals behind.
But let's
United,
look at
Wolves. I know, but I just
historically, I just think that they'll drop points.
What about West Ham?
West Ham maybe, but let's have a look at the fixtures. We'll look at those teams in and around that now. So let's look at Arsenal first. So Monday night, they're playing Monday Night Football coming up this Monday on the 4th, and they've got Crystal Palace. Now, that's not going to be an easy game.
No.
You know, Palace, on their day, Palace could turn anyone over because they've got a real, real good group of players. And under Vieira, they play some really good, attractive football. Sometimes that doesn't always bring results, but when it clicks, and what I think will happen, me personally, I do think that maybe Palace is going to get something out of this game. And my reasoning behind that is I think Arsenal give you a bit of space to play because of the way Arsenal play. and they tend to play a free flowing game. You know,
they'll have the counters as well, don't they?
Yeah,
and counter, so they'll get caught out on them.
But equally, and I think obviously their fullbacks will push forward. It depends on whether he plays a three at the back. But yeah, it, you know, if they play a back four or whatever, and you've got Tierney bombing up one side, Tomiyasu bombing up the other side, I think that leaves space in behind that Vieira will know that, and he'll know the way Arteta will set the team up, because obviously there's a Man City connection there. You know, so Vieira knows those particular tactics, and he knows the way.
Yeah, be a good game, that's for sure.
Yeah, he knows the way that Arteta's probably going to set up a team, and he'll think of ways he'll look at exploiting that. And of course, at the moment, you've got Zaha can get him behind. Young Elise, he's been phenomenal. He's kept Eze out of the team. Can't get anywhere near at the moment.
So you're saying Arsenal then for the fourth position? So you're going Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal?
I do think Arsenal would do it, but
as it stands,
because I'm looking at that. So Palace is a tricky game, and then Arsenal are at home to Brighton. I think, you know, on Saturday.
That's easy.
Saturday ninth. Brighton are in such a poor run of form. They really are. And we've actually got a question coming up from a Brighton fan. So, you know, we will cover Brighton shortly. And then they play Southampton. And again, Southampton are dropping like a stone as well. I think they've had like four defeats or whatever it is. No wins in six or seven.
Yeah, they're not doing great.
So here's the thing. Wednesday, the 20th of April, Stamford Bridge, Chelsea, Arsenal.
Ooh.
Big game for both clubs. And then they're at Arsenal at home to Man United. And yet again, even though Man United struggled again today.
They seem to be pulling it out at the last minute, aren't they?
It's not so much that. You just don't know what Man United are going to turn up. They could easily turn up at the Emirates and get a 2-3-0 win, or they could end up getting, you know, the young kids will run rock rings around Maguire and Lindelof or whoever plays.
That's if Ronaldo plays as well. He might be washing his hair or something.
He might be sick again.
Ill again.
And then it's a big game, so he'll be back. Guarantee that.
Yes.
And then they play West Ham. So they play West Ham
That could be a good one.
Yeah, West Ham at the London Stadium. And then it's home again to Leeds, Newcastle away, and then they finish the season at home to Everton. Now, obviously, yawning for.
Getting tired now.
It is 20 to 1 in the morning.
Well, yes.
But yeah, then Arsenal finish up with Everton. Everton are fighting for their lives, so that's not going to be an easy game. But they have a points advantage. So, you know, they have.
Well, I'm going to say Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and I can. It's going to be a massive one. People probably won't agree, but Wolves. I think Wolves will get in there.
See, the trouble is with that is that Arsenal have got three games in hand on Wolves.
Well, yeah, there is that.
So
there is that.
Yeah. West Ham. Yeah, again, West
Ham. If Arsenal slip up, it only takes teams to slip up.
West Ham. But well, they do. We know West Ham do play Arsenal, so there's an opportunity to catch points. West Ham. If I was going to go for an outside shot for the top four, it would be West Ham. It'd be West Ham to make a late push.
So I'm going Wolves. You go West Ham.
I still do think Arsenal will get it because they've already got the points in the bag. So, and they have games in hand. So there's that. I mean, I'll just have a quick look at Tottenham's fixtures as well. We'll just run through them. So obviously, today, Sunday, Super Sunday, they're at home to Newcastle. Do you know what? I know Paul will be looking at that game today and he'd be thinking, just maybe it'll be a typical Tottenham performance and Newcastle will come down here and get something out of that. So,
I'd like to see Newcastle win though. Sorry, Paul.
and then they're away to Villa. And yet again, on their day, CVG, Villa, albeit, you know, they got beat today and they got well beat today, Villa, but on their day,
Villa. He's got a good side coming out there.
Yeah, Villa could really give Spurs a game there, particularly at Villa Park as well. And then, yet again, they play Brighton. So they're playing Brighton at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And then they're away to Brentford. Yet again, as we've seen today on their day, Brentford can be a handful, a real handful. We'll play some good football. Tony's a real handful up front. So, you know, they're going to get give him a real good game again there. And then they've got Leicester. And Leicester's had a little bit of an upturn in form.
Up and down
as well.
They are.
They're a bit up and down, but, you know, they could have won that game today against United. Really could have. Yeah, and then they play Liverpool at Anfield.
That's
tough games.
That is tough.
If on paper, they play, then they're home to Burnley, and then they finish the season against Norwich. So there's 6 points. But
right.
On paper, you would probably say Spurs have probably got a slightly tougher run in than Arsenal.
Yeah, compared to the others, to the others.
So I don't know. So that's that. So we've covered that.
Next one.
So that's I think we're there or thereabouts on the prizes. Cup competitions on their day, anything can happen. Obviously, City are playing Liverpool in the cup semi-final. So what that immediately ruins one of those two teams' chances of any kind of quadruple or treble anyway. So that straight away puts that out the bag. So yeah. I quite fancy Chelsea to win the cup anyway. I think after everything that's happened, I just think.
Well, you
I
would
think,
do.
It'd be just, and Paul said it in a text.
Wish Derby would.
Paul said it in a text to me because I jokingly said we could go and win a couple of trophies ourselves this season. And Paul said,
I would like to see him win something.
That would be typical Chelsea, which he would. All right. So, Paul's next question: will Ronaldo be at Manchester United next year? I wish we'd have got. You know, Andy on the phone for this one.
Mr. Reed for this one,
Or patched him in on this.
Don't think he will be.
I think it really, really depends on who the next manager is, in all honesty, for me, because
I don't think he's happy with the manager that's currently there.
No, clearly not.
Who do you, it's a tough one. Depends who's coming in. Because
I mean, if we can tie this in with another question Paul's asked, which is who will be the next manager. So the two clear front runners at the moment seems to be obviously Pochettino and then Ten Hag from Ajax. Apparently, according to reports in the news this week, Ten Hag has had interviews with
apparently
United.
It's agreed or something. Yeah, apparently it's agreed.
Well, I wouldn't imagine financially there'd be any issues with either one of them. You know, Man United's not exactly short of a few bob.
But I think if Poch comes in, I think he will stay.
I'm not so sure, because I'm not so sure Poch will want him. If you can hear a whoop noise, that's
Lexi doesn't like Cristiano Ronaldo, my dog.
Well, let's ask the dog. Will Ronaldo give us a whoop if Ronaldo will stay at Man United? There we go.
There you go.
So Ronaldo staying at United. That's brilliant. We'll have to get Lexi predicting the World Cup. You know, like let me add Paul the Octopus.
She'll say Saudi Arabia. She will. Or the Octopus. Yeah.
Anyone that'll give her treats.
Just get her to Bart. If Saudi Arabia are going to win the World Cup, Lexi, Bart once. Nothing.
There you go.
Still like the World Cup, clearly.
Yeah. Right. So my personal view on it, I think it depends on the manager. I think if Ten Hag comes in, do you know what? It really depends on what you. What
this is going to be a daft question, but who is he?
It's Ten Hag.
I've never heard of him.
Ajax manager. He's done brilliant.
I watch for. I don't follow Ajax.
They've done. You know, relative for the size of their budget and whatnot. They've done. Relatively
But is he going to be another Van Gaal though? Is he going to be another one of him?
No, I don't think he is. He plays an attacking brand of football. With him coming in as manager, I think you have to get rid of Ronaldo. And I say this because Ajax typically sell their best players every year, and then they rely on bringing in one or two
youngsters.
They'll bring in the likes of Tadic, they'll bring in the likes of a Haller, but then they'll build around them with a lot of youngsters from, you know, academy players or players that they've picked up from, you know, smaller clubs in Dutch football. So if you're going to build if you're going to look and say, right, listen, we've got to ship out all the deadwood at United and we need to go in at the ground level, and they have got some decent young players, the likes of Alanga, you know, they have got some good players. They've got some good young players out on loan as well. that can come back in. So Ten Hag would be the man for that if you're going to build a project. But this is Man United we're talking about. You know, this is one of the biggest clubs in the world. Are Man United seriously going to think and talk? Will the fans accept this? This is something, obviously, if any Man United fans are listening to this.
I can see them saying Poch. I can see them saying Poch.
Well, Poch probably, if you bring in Poch, then you're looking at spending. And you're looking at possibly Poch wanting maybe a war chest in excess of, you know, 200 million. And if say, right, I want this, and this out. And then to pay for that, obviously, you're probably going to have to say, right, well, Ronaldo's wages are going to have to come off the budget. So Ronaldo would be shipped out. He's got a 2-year deal. So, you know, you're talking about saving a lot of money if you don't have him there for that year. And that could pay for maybe 3 or 4 other players' wages that you would bring into the club.
Like I say, this ties in with where would Ronaldo go, though? This what it ties into but now.
I don't listen, you know.
MLS, for me.
I don't think there'd be any shortage anywhere, really, of people that would want him, because you're going to make so much money back on merchandise and image rights and stuff, this, that, and the other, that financially, you know, it's not as big an issue in, you know, with what you
Ronaldo, if you hear this, come and save Derby. Come to Derby, please. Just, you know, Rooney. Can you imagine that, though? Can you imagine that?
Well, why not, you know, Rooney and Ronaldo, they can buy
the friends.
They buy Derby. There you go.
Friends. They're friends.
You know, imagine. But yeah. No, I don't see Ronaldo staying there next year. I think all the signs are that he'll probably move on. Listen, he came back to United. He didn't come back to United to finish 7th or 8th in the league. He came back to United.
He came to win.
To win some trophies at the end of his season. And yes, there was the romantic side of it, of coming back to United after all this time. But I think that the plan was coming back as this hero, knowing you could still perform, and he still scored a lot of goals this season as well. But coming back and performing and then putting a trophy in the cabinet as his final hurrah with a club, obviously, that he loves.
When he plays, that is, yeah.
But that hasn't, really worked out that well. How much of that you put down to Ronaldo, I don't know. For me, the whole Ranić experiment for them just hasn't worked out. And I know he's got the option. So at the end of the season, obviously, Ranić's option is that he would sign a 2-year consultancy agreement where he would kind of work like a director of football kind of thing. And he would have an input on who comes into the club as the next manager. I know a lot of Man United fans, and they would particularly want Ranić gone now.
So if it was you, who would you go for, Poch or Ten?
Well, I don't want Man United winning trophies for the next sort of 4 or 5 years, or even being competitive or spending a lot of money. So I would say Ten Hag.
No, put rivalries aside, who would you like to see?
If I was a Man United fan and I'm thinking we need to win trophies, potentially win trophies within the next 2 years, or we're in serious trouble of going a very long time without winning a trophy, you'd probably say Poch.
Yes. I would say Poch, personally, based on what you just said as well.
But then listen, having said that...
But somebody unknown that I've never heard of. Well, maybe. Ten.
You know, I mean, obviously, I love watching European football as well. So this is, I'm a bit of an anorak, so this is why I know.
Eredivisie, I've not really watched. I've never watched that, really. No, not really a massive fan of it.
When we say, like, you know, Poch in terms of... maybe Paul might disagree with me a little bit, but what's he done? What's he won?
He hasn't done nothing for PSG.
And you know, all the money in the world there.
They could surprise you, though. They could go for somebody completely different, and not neither of them.
Well, maybe, but who?
It's Man United at the end of the day. Sometimes they surprise you.
No, I mean, I had a conversation with a Man United fan at work on my break today, and I asked them, why is someone like Brendan Rodgers' name not in the hat?
He could.
You know, this is a guy who, with not a massive amount of money, puts a trophy in Leicester's cabinet. I know historically, so maybe Man United fans, because he managed Liverpool, and very nearly won a title with Liverpool if Steven Gerrard hadn't fallen over and let Demba Ba score. So obviously a few Man United fans maybe wouldn't necessarily be happy with, you know, someone coming in who was a previous Liverpool manager. But listen, you've got to put sometimes you've got to put stuff like that to one side and say, look, you know, we need to play in it. They want Man United fan demand and an attacking attractive style of football. They have the
whole, that's what attacking. Leicester do. Leicester do that.
And that's what Rodgers does. You know, I know at the moment a few Leicester fans ain't particularly happy with him with some of the decisions and some of the what game management styles. But then you're talking about Leicester. And if you're talking about Leicester and Man United and the kind of players that you
completely can, different, completely yeah, different.
Of course. Yeah. So I struggle to think. I know every top club in the world would want Thomas Tuchel. And I think what happens within the next few weeks with the Chelsea ownership would decide on whether or not someone like him would be up for grabs. Will Conte stay at Spurs? Yeah. And I think maybe this is why Man United haven't gone ahead and announced an appointment yet. And maybe they're saying, okay, we'll do an appointment. We'll speak to Ten Hag. We'll speak to Poch. We'll have these in there. But let's hold fire and see where we are. Because there's no saying that Poch might not get sacked at PSG.
He might not want it.
I know they're being linked. PSG are being linked with getting Zidane in there and whatnot. And because obviously Zidane's history of winning the Champions League with, you know, Real Madrid. So there's rumors.
Can you imagine Zidane at United?
Well,
could you imagine that?
This was floating about before, and then Zidane came out in a French newspaper with a quote saying he's got zero interest in coming to England. So that kind of put that one to bed, I suppose.
There's nobody else floating about, is there?
This is the problem. You can go for an up-and-coming manager.
Leicester go for Rooney.
I think that's way too soon for him. But even someone like a Graham Potter. I know things haven't gone brilliantly at the moment, but yet again, Brighton play good football.
Someone like Brentford's manager as well. That could be a good, because he's a good little manager. He is
Thomas Frank. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he's very good.
But this is the thing. This is Man United, and it's. I think they missed the boat when they didn't go for Conte. I think if you were saying short term, we're going to get a manager in that's going to, you know, has a track record, an absolute solid track record of coming in and doing something and winning trophies. We yet to see if that happens at Spurs, but
it's a tough one because there's all these managers that from all these different.
If I was a manager and I'm looking at United, I'm thinking, what do I go there and do? I look at, and I know we're going a little bit in depth for Man United, but you know, it is a question of Man United. So I think we're within our rights to dig deep into Man United, if you like. So when I'm looking at their squad, and arguably, I don't necessarily think that Maguire is that bad.
No, but they were booing him again today. I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't understand why.
I know he's had.
Yeah, he's underperformed sometimes.
Manchester United, yes.
Don't boo a player.
But he's not let England down.
No.
So, yet. Yeah, I don't understand. But I suppose there's a problem. But if you carry on hammering someone, you're going to affect their confidence. So that's
going to knock his confidence. Yeah, his confidence is going to be so low. So it's just going to underperform.
I mean, Varane's not really set the world on fire since his transfer. You know, from Real Madrid,
he's probably struggling playing with Maguire.
Well, you know, so arguably,
it could be language barriers. You don't know, do you? It could be anything.
Listen. If you don't know. When you've played football, you don't really need to speak the same language to understand where you need to be on a pitch.
Slabhead's involved.
Listen, if I turn around at you and I say, oi, over there, you know, and I'm telling you and I'm showing you, you know, there's been so many foreign
players.
Yeah,
when you've got Slabhead looking at you, though, it's it's different, isn't it?
I think they've got an issue at left back. I don't think Shaw.
He's not quite there yet. He was a bit. He was up and down to me.
He's a good player, but I think he's a bit hot and cold. Far better going forward than he is at defending, which is fine. And then of course, you've got a £50 million right back who can't get in the team.
He's played Dalot today.
So Dalot seems to be the first choice at the moment. I think defensively, Wan-Bissaka's a very good player, but
I think it's all favouritism at the minute. Ragnick's choosing who he wants to choose.
I just think in the modern fullback needs to be able to do both sides of the game, and going forward is not Wan-Bissaka's strength. So what are we saying? And you know, they're going to have to look at replacing De Gea. I know he's still capable of pulling off phenomenal saves, but
do you know how I think they should go for? Casper Schmeichel.
No, they've got Henderson. No, he's too old. I mean, he's 35.
Really?
Yeah. Way too old.
Look at Buffon.
True. But they've got Dean Henderson.
Well, yeah, true. So true. He's a good little keeper, he is.
Why is he not playing? When
favoritism. I still think it's favoritism. He's choosing who he wants to choose.
Yeah.
Because look at the likes of Lingard. Came back to United from all that amazing spell at West Ham.
Yeah, but I put a lot of the blame on that on Lingard for himself anyway, because you got to want it, you got to really want it, you've got to do stuff in training, and then when you do get games in the cups and that, you've got to give a performance that.
Yeah, but then he was West Ham got picked. He got picked first team.
Yeah,
but pretty much every game was performing.
Give
him first team football. That's what he wants.
You've come back to United, and when he has been given games, he hasn't done it. Cup games or whatever, he hasn't done it. He hasn't performed nowhere near good enough. Games True. When he has come on as a sub.
Well, look at Rashford. That's another example.
Yeah, again. You know, this is the thing. I think if I'm looking at that as a manager, I'm thinking there's a lot of work there. That's a lot of
fixing. I think it's all morale, you know. I think it's all morale. It's got to be. The morale must be that low.
With it, but you don't fix that.
Especially
overnight.
With the fallouts for Ronaldo as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. You don't fix that overnight.
No,
they got Martial out the door. I still think Martial could have done a job for him.
That's crazy. That's mental.
You know, Cavani don't get on the pitch now because he's injured again. But there's issues there. I think the squad is so lopsided. Constant revolving rumours around Pogba all the time. Listen, Pogba, if you want to go, just go. You know,
yeah, just tell him.
But this happens every time. This happens every 18 months. This happens with Pogba. And then two things happen. He threatens, he says, I want to go. I want to go to Madrid. I want to go to PSG, this, that, and the other. And he ends up getting an improved contract with an extra £70,000 thrown on top a week. I'll tell you what, he's got a good agent.
Don't like swearing, but greedy bastard.
he's got a good agent, that's for sure. I think there's a lot wrong. There's a lot of issues at United. And if I was either Poch or Ten Hag, pushing the financials aside of like what wages or whatever you would get there, I'd be worried. I'd be really worried about taking that job. I would.
I don't think he will. I don't think it'll be either of them. I think it's going to be somebody that we least expect. Personally,
I think it'll be Ten Hag. I think it would be right. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think they've gone quite a way down the line with him. It's difficult to see him being offered a position at another club of that kind of size or stature at the at this current time. I think if he gets offered a job, I think it is a very difficult. I don't mean you can turn it. If you're Ten Hag at the moment, as amazing as you've done with Ajax, I don't think you're probably in a position to turn it down. I think you probably end up having to go for it. But I would worry. I think there's a lot of work there to be done. Yeah.
Well, we'll leave that one there then.
But that's it. That's Paul's question. So that's sorted.
We have a question from somebody on TikTok?
We did, yes. And he's also a follower of on Insta as well. So he's challenged me to pronounce his name correctly. But I'm just going to call him McLaughlin, and I'm going to cheat. So this is a question from McLaughlin. He's a Brighton fan. he's like, the question is, how can Brighton fix the team? We just drew 0-0 with Norwich with 31 shots. And I mean, people talk about Kepa's penalty. Well, Neil Mopes once just broke my back, you know, landed in my garden after breaking my back window. I'm going to put a lot of what's going on at Brighton down to the fact that they've had really, really bad problems at the back. So on whatever occasions you've had Webster out injured, Dunk out injured, they sold Dan Byrne to Newcastle. And I really rate Dan Byrne. I think he's brilliant.
He's cracking player.
Listen, there's no coincidence whatsoever that Newcastle, since signing Dan Byrne, with his leadership skills and his ability on the pitch, a very underrated defender. There's just no coincidence whatsoever that Newcastle have climbed the table. You know, they've pulled themselves
up. I just can't understand how Brighton haven't won that today. Because 63% possession.
30 shots.
31 shots and only four of them on target.
So if you look at the two main strikers at the moment, that's Neil Mopay, and then more often than not, Welbeck from the bench.
Yeah.
That's not good enough for the Premier
League. And they had 478 passes and only Norwich had 288.
This is the problem. That's insane. They do play very good football. They've got very good players in most areas across the pitch. Young Tarek Lamptey, they got for Chelsea. Phenomenal young player. But if you
four shots on target all game, though.
If you can't put the ball in the back of the net, you're going to have problems. They're lucky that they already had a really, really decent sort of middle part to the season where they picked up a lot of points and they got a lot of sort of 1-0 scrappy victories and whatnot, if you like, but they had points in the bag and they've been very lucky because they could so easily be pulled down into the relegation fight there.
And they played 3-5-2 today.
But that's generally how he plays anyway. He has wing backs and of course when they're on the defensive, you know, the wing backs will drop in to make the five.
Yeah, he had March and Lamptey, like you say.
I just think, you know, March isn't a left wing back, so I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe Cucurella was out injured today. I'm not so sure. I don't know whether he was in the squad or whatever. I don't know. I'll have a look.
Yeah, he wasn't. No.
Yeah. So,
Cucurella was. Yes, he was at the back playing centre back, right centre back.
He's playing well. There you go. This, yeah, again, that just highlights the issues, isn't it?
You know, here was the team. He had Sanchez in goal. Then he had Cucurella at right centre-back. Then he had Veltman in the middle. And Dunk, left centre-back.
I'm not so sure. That's not a back three that inspires me with confidence. So if you're, you know, unless...
That's showing me leak goals, please. Or play poor.
And then
Pascal Gross in the middle as the holding midfielder.
So he's gone in there. I know it's Norwich and Norwich are struggling, but they're going in with one holder and then
it is Trossard, attacking, but
Trossard, who's probably more effective in a wide area. You've got him playing in the middle of the park. McAllister, I like McAllister, he's a good player. But the problem is they can't. I don't know whether he's fully fit or not. I don't understand why Basuma's not in that team today. If he's fully fit,
no,
or even if he's 80%. And you're playing against...
He was on the bench.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand.
Lallana on the bench. Shane Duffy on the bench.
But this is the problem. You know, they're pretty good in their midfield area. And with a you know, if Dunk and Webster are fit, in with Veltman, it's a pretty solid back three. But you take one or two of those components out of there, then you're always going to be a little bit susceptible to, you know, to leaking a goal here or there. And if you're not scoring at the other end, then there's your problem. So
yeah, but Cucurella, why the hell is he playing centre back?
Well,
he's playing right centre back.
Yeah, but he's playing left centre back. He's playing left centre back because everyone else is injured, and you've sold Dan Byrne. So they have no choice.
Well, no, he was playing right centre back, and then Dunk was playing left centre back.
Not according to my list I'm looking at.
Well, I'm on the Sky Sports and it was on this. That's what it's showing.
Ignore
Sky Sports, you're a mess.
Sky Sports, you're shit. Cucurella's left footed. You can see that. But.
Well, that's what I can understand. Look, That's what I could not understand.
Left centre. Yeah, no, ignore that shit. That's a load of rubbish.
Sky Sports, sort your shit out.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, I won't use that again.
Listen, there's your issues. If Brighton are going to, I'll tell you what, Brighton could do a Burnley next year. As good a football as they play, Brighton could easily just could go down next year if they don't sort out the goal scoring issues. So if you're in charge of Brighton, you've got to go and find a goal scorer. Now, goal scorers, goal scorers don't come cheap.
And ones that don't miss penalties.
Go, yeah. I like Mopay, but he just doesn't score. For me, he's never going to be a 20 goal a season Premier League striker.
No.
Now, they're not easy to find. They really ain't. So you either adjust the system where you can get your wide players into far more attacking areas in the box, which would maybe go into a back four and playing.
He's going to need service. That's what he's needing.
Well, it's not even service. Is the issue. They create service. They created 32 shots today. What they didn't have is somebody could put it in the back of the net. And that's
what Welbeck used to. That's what it's a mad one, that is. I can't believe that.
I'm amazed that Welbeck's even still capable of standing on his own two legs without even getting injured. And don't get me wrong, I like Danny Welbeck, but Danny
wish
Welbeck,
I had legs.
Maybe Danny Welbeck like 8 years ago. But so they need investment. So in answer to your question, what do Brighton need to do to fix the team? Well, they need to spend some money. Now,
striker, definitely.
A striker. A
goal scorer, as you said.
Perhaps.
Maybe strengthen that midfield up a little bit.
Well, they're definitely going to need a centre-back or two.
Yeah.
As it is. I think they need a central midfielder with the ability for crossing. I don't know.
That's a tough one because obviously I don't follow Brighton, but I watch them on television.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm very, very.
I would be frustrated. I would be frustrated at that though.
Especially I'm very familiar with them. Yeah, I think Brighton really need to decide what they're going to be, because. And if they want to
stay in that division next season, they are going to.
It's not even so much that. I think Potter needs to decide what he wants to be, because if he's just going to be, I mean, he's getting a lot of ratings. He has a lot of good things said about him, and he gets tipped with a lot of big jobs. But if you have another season where you're just sat there plodding around in midfield, 8-9 points above a relegation zone, what does that do for his, for his standing, if you like?
Doesn't look good, does it?
No.
Doesn't look good at
and
all.
So for the Brighton owners, you take a lot of money in every year from the TV rights in the Premier League. So I think you've got to take a bit of a gamble and throw a bit of money at whether that's someone like an Alfredo Morelos from Rangers up, in Scotland.
Oh, yeah, good chat.
Someone like that. Take a bit of a punt on someone like that. Someone that's not going to cost you stupid money.
Ryan Kent? Another shout.
Yeah, for in the wide areas, yeah. I think that there's bargains to be had out there. And of course, there's players all across Europe that could. Someone like, what's his name now? Croatian fella, plays for Real Madrid, never gets a game.
Modric.
No.
I don't know his name. You've completely lost me.
Yeah.
I'm
getting it out because my brain's gone dead. We're going to get it up. We're going to find it. No, it doesn't. But, there are players out there. There are players out there, and it's just whether or not they're going to be willing to go and spend that money. I don't know.
So I don't have any yarn about. I really don't. Before
the end of this pod, I will get it. I guarantee you. It will just click in my brain because I was reading about him in the gossip column. He came up in the gossip column.
Yeah, it's completely lost me out. We had a question for me, didn't we?
From who?
For me. We had a question for
oh,
me,
we
didn't
did.
We?
Yeah, we. And do you know what? It's the first question.
Well, shall we move on to that while we find the Croatian player? I still think you've lost the plot, and it's there isn't. The only one I know is Modric.
No, he's not. He's old. He's not a striker. I will get the Madrid squad.
Oh, you're not about Rebic or somebody like that, are you? Is it
no,
Rebic?
Rebic is at AC Milan.
Oh, Jovic. So you're on about Jovic, Luka Jovic?
Is it Jovic? I'm sure it's.
No, he's Serbian.
My brain's gone mental, mate. I tell you.
He's Serbian.
It is Luka Jovic.
He's not Croatian.
He's not Croatian. He's Serbian. All right, listen. No matter where he's from, he can't get a game at Real Madrid. He's only young. He's only like 23, 24. So, you know.
Someone like him. Yeah, on loan even.
Chuck 15, 20 million quid at him and get him in the Premier League. That's what I say. There you go, Brighton. That solves your problem. Job done. Not a problem. Yeah.
Hodges,
you know, listen.
Someone help Hodges' brain, please.
Yeah. Give me 100 grand a year. I'll come and be your manager.
I think that beats my Peru one.
Look, we're losing the... Listen, this is the problem when I've had half a can of beer and we're recording a podcast that 10 past one in the morning,
yeah.
I got up this morning, people. I got up this morning at just before 5 a.m. So you're going to have to forgive me for the odd faux pas.
Yes, right. What was that question for me? I'd like to know because I'm intrigued.
Well, the question was from a David Granger, and it's our first question via the email. And of course, you can email the show at talkfootballpdc@gmail.com. So join David in sending these questions in. So the question is to Mr. James, our Derby County fan.
Yes.
There we go.
Be nice. Right.
Well, I don't think you're really going to like it. It's a touchy subject, really. But I did see an article myself this week on BBC Sport about it as well. So the question from Mr. Granger is, will Rooney stay or go at the end of the season? Simple as that.
That's a tough one.
And it's very similar to the Chelsea situation. Everything depends on
it's this takeover. This is what he's waiting for. It came out saying that he's in the dark.
Yeah.
He's in the dark just as much as the players, the staff, everyone is in the dark. They don't know nothing about what's going on with the takeover. All they know is that his preferred bidder's there. Whether he stays or goes, he said he won't. He said he'll see the season out.
Yeah. I think he's done such an amazing job. There won't be any shortage of takers.
Oh, yeah. Well, 100%. I don't blame him if he goes, personally.
I respect him
massively for what he has done at the moment with Derby. And the passion he's had is insane.
Yeah.
The passion he's had is mental. And it gets me emotional that a manager like that came in, has gone through all this mess.
He's still smiling, boosting his players. You know, he came as a player. Let's not forget that. A player who then...
Who then
kicked off his coaching career at Derby, you know, doing his...
Yeah, with Cocky, wasn't he? Yeah.
And was working with a lot of the kids. I think this is where the emotional side of things with Rooney really ties in, because obviously when he was doing his coaching badges and doing that side of stuff, and doing the coaching with Derby when he first came in as player coach, he would have been working with a lot of young players. Now it's them young players that are now in the team working.
Oh, yeah. Eber Wewi, for instance, young little player, came from Arsenal.
Yeah.
And he's working his socks off.
Obviously, there's a bond. There's a bond between Rooney and this group of players. Yeah. And no matter what happens, whether they end up going down to League One, no matter what happens, from what Derby have done, and particularly Rooney, and particularly this group of players this season, is nothing short of phenomenal. Starting on minus 21 points to be even within a shout.
We would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, you wouldn't be far
if
off.
If them points went back on, we would be...
Yeah, you wouldn't be far
it off. It gets
you
me emotional talking about it, because it's Derby. I've supported them all my life.
Yeah.
And having a manager come in like that, that I've watched play.
But I think you know Rooney. He's a very ambitious young man. You have only got to look at his playing career for that. So I think there's no question that at some point he moves on. Anyway, it's obviously the key, it's when
he will. It's going to happen.
I think Rooney will end up being a real top manager because he's got that in him. You got to remember he went to Man United as an 18-year-old kid from Everton and set the world on fire. And having the manager he did for all those years at United, you can see traits of Ferguson in him.
Yes, he's going to be the next Guardiola.
I'm not sure. I think he will be. I think it's a big shout.
No, I don't mean winning trophies and stuff. I mean the way he manages.
I do think he will win. I think he will win trophies. Where and what level, yet to be seen. But I probably would think at some point he ends up either back at Everton or Man United as manager. I just think that's maybe too soon for him now because he is.
I can see him going to the MLS or something first. He's got ties over there.
No, not at all.
If Neville goes, not a chance in hell.
Mm. I think it's top level European football. Simple as that. There's no way that he takes that step in his career in terms of management. Absolutely no way.
So he wouldn't take the likes of like Burnley or anyone like that, you reckon? Or you think it's somebody like low key?
Someone like a Burton. Well, I mean, I think the next step for him would be a Premier League club. And
could you see him as an international manager as well? Could you see him the next England manager?
In the future, maybe. I don't know.
No, obviously not yet, because he's still starting off.
Let's not kick gas out too soon. But,
There's other managers before that, anyway.
I do think Rooney will end up being a manager of a Premier League team sooner rather than
I hope he does stay. I hope he stays when we're in League One, because I think we are going to go down. It's 100%.
It's tough, and obviously Reading dropped points today, but they've still got a game in hand. So
yeah,
if they don't win that game in hand, then
and Barnsley have,
oh, listen,
and Peterborough, all the three teams around us.
Them teams are nothing to do with you now. It's all about just Reading. It really is. Because I don't honestly think. I know those teams are capable of catching Reading.
Well, you've got Barnsley a point above us with a game in hand. Yeah. We have the better goal difference. That's what's going for us.
Which is effectively like an extra point. This is why I say, Reading's your target. Reading's where you're at. That's where.
And they're on 34 now. They are pushing away slowly.
No.
But we'll see.
Form's so up and down. I mean, Ince came out today and said that he'd like to play for longer than the end of the season and all that. It's difficult. You've got a 20 plus goal advantage. That's worth so much.
Yeah,
that's worth so much. And if you get within, you're only talking two fixtures. All right, yeah, you've only got six games left, but that's still a lot of points.
It is doable. It's going to be a massive task.
But nevertheless, the most important thing is it's not Rooney. It's not staying in this division. It's the fact that you need owners and you need to come out.
We need a takeover. Yeah.
It's been six months.
We need a takeover now.
You need to come out of administration. So yeah,
the bloody administrators are getting on my nerves because they're not. They're now saying that they're being undermined.
Yeah. Well, there's this issue. I think Merrill Morris is trying to get his foot back in the door and all that. And it's a bit messy, but, and it may well end up having to be the football league sort of steps in and maybe even at government level that steps in like with Chelsea and say, like, this is, Mel Morris, F off.
They might do. The MPs are involved. The MPs and the supporters trust all involved.
I mean, I've said it all along. Derby's too. It's too big a club that it goes to the wall completely. Someone will come in and get it.
But what I do is I want to thank David for that question.
Yes,
it is a touchy subject, but I want to thank you for emailing and that questioning.
Thank you to
myself.
Paul. And thank you to McLaughlin for his question on Brighton as well. So that was our little episode on with our questions. That's the second time we've done questions from the listeners, and we do enjoy doing it because we love interacting with our listeners wherever you are in the world. And for me, that's an important thing, and this is why I like doing these ones. But it's important that you guys obviously know how to get in contact with us. So yes, the email's there. I'll say it again, which is talkfootballpdc@gmail.com. Of course, we're on all the social pages, so you can get us on the TikTok, Facebook. I mean, Facebook's brilliant because obviously you can leave messages directly on the wall there rather than just replying to comments on videos or whatever. That when they go up, you can actually get on that page and interact with other Talk Football listeners in that forum as well. So that's a really good one. And of course, like I say, if you haven't got those socials, then the email's there to use. And one thing we have been looking at doing as well, which would be brilliant if we could do this, is doing a live show. So where we stream it on Twitch, albeit that's a gaming platform, it doesn't matter.
You can chat on there. There is just chatting on there. People do sports and channels.
And that's one thing we're looking at doing, which is doing a live podcast. Where we'll have a phone line set up where people can ring in, and you can actually come on and ask.
Yeah, we'd like to get you involved. We want people to get involved. We don't bite. We don't snap. Just get involved.
And particularly
contacting the show.
I mean, obviously, Premier League, fans of Premier League clubs are more than welcome. Always anyone's more than welcome. But I love talking to fans outside of the top division, because I think there's a grassroots football and the football pyramid, particularly in England, is such a phenomenal thing. And I watched the second part, albeit it's only a short 15 minute part, but I watched the second part of the Making Macclesfield with Robbie Savage.
And I'm yet to watch that yet.
It really is a brilliant documentary, especially the first part, because the first part's the full hour. So you get to see.
I haven't watched the Rooney either.
Yeah, you still. Oh, that's really good as well. It's really good. Probably not good for you to watch it at the moment because there's a lot of Derby content in there. It's probably not good for your mental health.
Sorry, Wayne. Sorry.
But you'll come back to that. But we want people involved with the show. That's why we do what we do. It's why I started this. It's because I love talking about football with people, and this is why Adam's got involved and come on board as well, because obviously he lived in Stoke for a while, and he would go and follow Stoke and that, and his kids obviously still live in Stoke, so there's ties in with a bit of Stoke, but obviously Derby is where he's from. It's his hometown,
born and bred.
And this is it's the same with Paul. Who would have thought it, me and Paul, best of mates, grown up for since our sort of 20s, working together and whatnot. And, and he's a Spurs fan. We should hate each other. But this is what it's all about. Yeah, this is what we do the podcast for. And this is why I'm so thankful for the people that have dropped their questions in. And I know it was late notice for tonight's one. I only gave you a couple of hours to get your questions in. So apologies for that. It was a bit of an unplanned idea, and we thought we'd just go for it. And we're really pleased that we did. So, because obviously Paul's questions were amazing, and they weren't just about his own club in Spurs. So, yeah. And to get
that's all you have to do, guys. That's all you have to do. It's just even just a little sentence together like that.
Yeah,
a few questions.
For David
you have
to pop
to do.
Up with a Derby question for you, which I think is brilliant. That shows me that we're reaching people out there outside the Premier League and that as well. So that's brilliant. And obviously young McLaughlin, I really feel for him because he's only young as well. He's only 18 and he's having to put up with a performance like that today.
Yeah, and please let us know where you're from, because then we can say, like, David from...
Yeah.
So vice David versa.
From, well, David from Derby, so...
David from Derby, yeah. Then David, at least David we know where Derby. You are.
McLaughlin from Brighton, and Paul, who's originally from Southwest London, he's now living it up, living the life out in New Zealand, so...
And Hodgie from Chelsea. Or well, not Chelsea, well, is it really? You know what I mean?
Close. I was born not in far. Born in Wandsworth. So it's a stone's throw. So yeah. But there we go. Then listen, we'll be back with another episode. I'm already in the process of editing the World Cup review episode that we've recently just recorded. So that hopefully should be up within by Sunday eve afternoon, even. Yeah. That should be,
unless you're asleep.
Unless, yeah, but I can guarantee you by the following Sunday, which is the 10th or 11th.
Yes,
10th. Something like that. Anyway, I can guarantee you there'll be a minimum of two new episodes for you guys to listen to. So that's that. Yeah, and we shall see you on the next one. So yeah, again, from me, your host Hodgie,
and from Adam,
and from Adam, our resident Derby County fan.
I am very tired. It's 1:24 in the morning.
1:24 in the morning. So we're going
to be very tired.
We wish all of you a very happy upcoming Easter holidays with your family and friends. Don't eat too much chocolate, and get in contact with the show. And yeah, and hopefully let's hope for whatever clubs you support that you get some good results over the Easter period.
And send me some Easter eggs.
No, he doesn't
I like chocolate.
He's chubby enough as it is. Trust me. I can see him.
Rude.
Anyway, thank you very much from everyone here involved with the Talk Football Pod, and we'll see you on the next episode.